Dave Fanning on 2FM.
You all right there, Afric?
More to the point.
More to the point. I'm fine. Yeah, that's Stoned and Starving. That's music there from Parkhead Courts, as in New York Music. Where are we now? 37 minutes past one. Quick. How many is that to two?
23 minutes.
Very
to
good.
Two.
Okay.
It's nearly like I do this.
So the maths are working, aren't they? Sorry, Africa's here with stuff. What stuff do you have?
Yeah. So I've stories from this week. Did you see? This was the one that gave me the most hope of. This week. Did you see about the Chilean fella who was...
The Chilean fella, I did not.
Or Chilean, depending on how you pronounce it. The Chilean fella who was paid multiples, 330 times his salary, and then disappeared into the sunset.
Oh, that kind of thing happens quite a bit, but they always have to kind of own up or fez up. Or
I love
it is.
This
so the guy. He's run away with it, has he?
Yeah, so he is an employee at a Chilean company, and he got a very nice surprise last month. So we don't know his name yet, but he works for the Consorcio Industrial de Alimentos, which is CIAL in Chile, and it makes... cold cuts of meat, you know, like kind of parma ham and all that kind of stuff. And usually they would receive a pay of about 500,000 Chilean pesos or $555, which would be direct debited then into their account or whatever.
And an extra zero or two, I suppose.
Exactly. So it was May 30th that this happened. So it was the last kind of pay round or whatever. There was a mess up in the HR department, and it resulted in him, instead of a check for 500,000 Chilean pesos, he got a check for 165,398,851 pesos, which is $184,000.
So that's a many years' wages.
Exactly.
In one fell swoop.
Exactly.
Sorry, there's one thing you said there which I find strange. You said that we don't know his name yet.
They haven't, no.
But surely, if they're looking for him, they should release
his
name.
The company knows his name.
Yeah, but they should, if they want help from us, the public.
But I love-
Do you remember that thing?
Rats like, out, Dave. I wouldn't.
No, I'm not going to shop.
Rat this
lower.
Fella out. No
but
way.
Do you know that thing? Till I was about 22, I thought, seriously, this is terrible. Like, you know, like so and so, the two men are helping police with their inquiries. I thought the two men went down to the police station and said, listen, we'll knock on the doors in this street. You look after that street. I did. Seriously. Like it wasn't like I thought that till 12. It was.
Do you know that joke? I was like in Friends or something where they said about someone being held at gunpoint. And people being held at gunpoint and saying, why do people continue to go there?
Hey! That's very good. No, I didn't hear that before.
So when this guy got his massive pay increase that week, he actually went, he was very honest, and he went to a manager to report the overpayment.
Oh, wait a minute, there's a twist.
Yeah, there's a twist. So that was when they discovered the HR error and stuff. So the company then told him to go back to his bank and initiate the return of the money. And he promised to go there the next day. And he did go there the next day, but he withdrew all the money instead.
Wow.
So after 3 days of calls and WhatsApps, the company got a message from the lawyer representing the worker offering his resignation.
In Barbados.
Yeah. And since then, nobody at the company has heard from him.
Wow.
This is great. Wow. So the company has filed a complaint charging the worker with misappropriation of funds they are hoping to recover some of the lost money.
So there might be a follow-up story next week on this very program.
Well, you never know. Exactly. But there have been no arrests so far. And you have to say as well, right, because of the country that it's in. Now, I don't know if he's left the country at this stage or what the story is, but the average worker takes home about $1,000 US a month. So this is enormous. Like,
this is 180,000.
Exactly, right. Exactly. So he's living the dream. Yeah. Did you see about Jeff Bezos's yacht?
I did not.
Okay. So Jeff Bezos
has
apparently the second biggest sailing...
Obvious question I'm going to ask next.
I don't know. I tried to find out who it was, but I don't know. There's probably some kind of oligarch or something somewhere, you know, I would imagine has the biggest sailing yacht. But there was a bridge. There's a bridge in Rotterdam, not Yotterdam. It would be a good pun. In Rotterdam. And it has a monument status. So it's called De Hef. Right in Rotterdam, huge big old bridge. So because the yacht was being produced and had to sail out, they were going to have to dismantle this old, really ancient bridge.
Oh, there's so many questions I have now. Why did they build it in a place where they wouldn't be able to get through the bridge, number one?
Do you bring it out in parts or what do you do? Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Build it somewhere else. Or build it on the other side of the bridge, maybe.
So I actually think we talked about this before. When there was initially the issue came up of Jeff Bezos' yacht being too large to fit under De Hef, right? So what they've done, so Ocean Co, who are the producer of the yacht, so it's being produced in Al Blasser Dam, so it's in and around the same area, yeah. I think, and it has to come out by this spot, but they're now saying that because of the response that it got to taking down and dismantling and rebuilding the bridge, they've now shelved the plans in order to do that. So it was going to cost 430 million euro to build, and then on top of that there was going to be the logistical costs of knocking down the bridge and rebuilding it again. But earlier this year, there was a local resident in Rotterdam who launched a Facebook event inviting people to throw eggs at the yacht once the shipyard launches it. And he told the paper there, he said, it started more of as a joke among friends after we heard the news about the possible dismantling of the bridge. Now, he acknowledged that it had gotten out of hand because there was thousands of people who wanted to go and throw eggs at the boat. But for the moment, the bridge is safe, and they don't know how they're going to get Jeff's yacht out of Rotterdam.
They'll have to cut one of the stories off it.
Yeah, they're going to have to. Yeah. I just imagine, like, you know, in Succession with the massive yacht in Succession, that's what I assume it's exactly like. Do you know that kind of way?
I'd say it's bigger than that.
And all the same awful people aboard. Yeah, well, indeed. Well, another story, a nicer story, Dave. Did you hear about Bob the homing pigeon?
Bob the homing pigeon. Yeah. Oh, we've had a few homing pigeon stories in the past, actually. Yeah, they often they take a left-hand turn.
It's a rich vein of content for us. Yeah. So,
what's the difference between a racing pigeon and a homing pigeon, by the way? Stumped, are we? Well, I mean, is there a difference? I'm sure, but I don't know.
I think the clue's in the name. But maybe they're the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know is the answer. Someone will text you in 51552. Somebody will text you in to tell you.
Yeah.
So a confused pigeon has turned up thousands of miles away in the US after...
Now, hold on a second. The Dr. Doolittle talked to him. Like, how do you know it's confused? Maybe it was trying to
escape.
It's
confused because of where it is. It was obviously confused.
Maybe it wanted to go there. Sorry.
Where did you hear?
Where did it go?
So he's from Tyneside, Bob.
Wow, hold on, look at this. The Racing Homer is the official breed name for the homing pigeon. Today, the homing pigeon is primarily used for sport and as a hobby, but pigeon races are still held around the world. They're the same thing.
You are spoiled with your team, can I tell you that.
That's straight out of my own brain.
It is, yeah, exactly. Straight out of your own brain. So the bird is from Tyneside, so up near Newcastle. And he's 4 years old, and he was found in Alabama.
Alabama?
Yeah.
So they wouldn't understand. If Dr. Doolittle was talking, they wouldn't understand the Geordie accent over there anyway, you know. God's sake.
So Bob is meant to be worth about £1,000, and he's being cared for by an animal shelter in Monroeville in Alabama.
And I presume they had tags and things and was able to...
they have the little bracelets on their legs so that they can be identified. But, still...
Is there a message in it? And you open it up and attack at dawn. Nothing like that, no.
I'd love if there was something like that. Yeah. Staff at the animal shelter said, despite being underweight, Bob looks pretty good.
Glad to hear it. That's an awful long way. Wait a
minute. It's a really long way.
He couldn't have flown that.
Well, wait till you hear.
Oh, sorry.
Right. So, let me tell you. So, Mr. Todd, who owns Bob, and he has been reunited with Bob over webcam.
Mr. Todd, who owns Bob. Next week, Postman Pat.
They had a Zoom of himself and Bob reunited over Zoom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's planning to travel over to bring him back.
And hold on, did Bob react on the Zoom when he saw Mr. Todd? Say, Dad, or whatever. No, was
I'm actually
like
going
that?
To walk out, I swear to God. So they said, Mr. Todd said he wouldn't have flown all that way. I think he's probably jumped on a ship. He was covered in oil when he was found. Ooh. So it could have been an oil. Tanker. I love the evidence. So they're obviously looking after him really well. Saw him yesterday, didn't look in a good state, but today I see him and he looks a lot better. So Bob was traced from the northeast of England or to the northeast of England by staff at the animal shelter in Alabama, who put the appeal on social media, and which was the way that Mr. Todd managed to find Bob. It's not a nice story.
The world we live in. That's fantastic. Good old Bob.
Bob. Yeah. Bob will be back soon. Did you see during the week that NASA has found a crash site on the moon, but they've no idea who it belongs to?
Like, and what crashed there?
So some sort of mystery spacecraft crashed on the moon. Yeah.
So obviously the internet is a fire, I
exactly.
suppose.
Exactly. So it created two massive craters on the moon, which are brand new and have never been seen before. So NASA scientists do not know what's going on here. So the rocket had been tracked through space since 2015, but nobody claimed it.
And even in those 5 or 6 years, they didn't know who.
Nobody claims it.
What was the rocket doing? Just traveling.
It's traveling at 5 kilometers per second.
Really?
Through space. Yeah.
5 kilometers per
second. 5 kilometers per second. And that's how fast I'm going to run out of the studio.
That's amazing. But there's lots of stuff on the moon, isn't there?
Like loads of crap.
Like blokes, all those guys who went up there, they left stuff behind.
People's lunches, and there's a Israel crashed spacecraft there. There's literally stuff from
the
first
Apollo
lunar
guys,
landing. Yeah, exactly.
They left stuff like the TV camera and
all that stuff.
In fact, you know, the flag came in a thing, and they took it out and dropped the flag, but then the thing was left there.
Oh yeah, so all these, we talked about that before, actually, about the stuff and who owns the stuff that's left on the moon.
Do you know there is an art gallery on the moon? Seriously, it's about 1 inch by 1 inch, and one of the guys, I think it was the youngest ever walker on the moon person, he's about 36 or 7, one of the guys in the Apollo, and it's six paintings, or six, and one of them is somebody we'll be talking about in the programme tomorrow, Andy Warhol. There you are.
Andy's
on the moon.
Do you know what photo or
no,
what,
but
what
also,
picture it was?
One guy left a picture of his family there.
Oh, yes, I have heard that.
I think it's probably all kind of disintegrated by now, but who knows?
There's no atmosphere there, though. So, like,
indeed, absolutely not. In fact, also, the flag is a bit of a waste. There's no wind.
There's also no wind.
Did I say no wind as though I know what I'm talking about? There is no wind, is there?
I don't think there is. But there's no atmosphere, so do things degrade the same way on the moon?
Listen, Professor, I have no idea. I haven't a clue.
You'd be degraded by the sun, I suppose, because the sun
And there's a moon buggy there, and golf balls and stuff. Seriously?
Golf balls. Yeah. That was one of the items that were left over. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, but it's not some big, huge rocket flying through space for 5 years.
No,
and it
crashed. And so now...
So who do they think it belongs?
So this they have photos of the it's so funny because now the finding things on the moon is so easy, like, you know.
Hold on a second, I just want to answer the question you asked earlier. Well, no wind, pollution, or water to erode, rust, dissolve, or abrade it. Although the action of sunlight, particularly UV radiation, has probably already bleached the US flags left there by the Apollo astronauts. I was going to say that a minute ago, but
already 60 years ago. Already after 60 years, it's very good. So one astronomer has created software that tracks objects in space, and he had to work backwards. His name is Bill Gray. He had to work backwards and compute an approximate orbit from the way it crashed
and put it back to
China.
China. Right,
so
okay.
They think China. He said, I'm 99.9% sure it's the China 5T1. He said this to the BBC. But they also thought it could have been a SpaceX booster, one of Elon's things. There are hundreds of pieces of debris on the surface of the moon as well. So.
Yeah. When you say China, didn't China, what
China.
Do you call it? Yeah, China. Yeah. That's brilliant. Didn't they put one on the dark side? Well, don't tell me the moon is all dark and quote Pink Floyd. But like the far side of the moon, didn't China land one there a little
there
bit 2 years ago or a year ago?
Yeah, there was something about that. So now you'll have
it's all dark, actually.
You'll have a new paragraph of information in about 2 minutes.
Indeed.
That's just
coming
as if
straight
by magic.
From my brain.
Yeah, as if by magic. So that's that. So they think it's China, but they can't be 100% sure because nobody's claiming it. And China televises their launches, but they haven't claimed this rocket,
is. Like, are they embarrassed about it or something?
They don't seem to be. Yeah. It crashed in March, they said. But now they've only got photos of it now. So it's just gas, isn't it? They're like, it's so easy to get photos of the moon now, whereas like 60 years ago it was... Everybody was watching it on the telly. Do you know what I mean?
They certainly were.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so another one, quick one for you. Do you know the way I love Italian mares? Italian mares always seem to mayors, not horses.
Oh, I was just thinking it was a horse. Yeah, right. That's what you might say. Any friend of the Pope's is a Palomino.
We had an Italian mayor a couple of weeks ago that was doing something mad about wild boars. And now this fella, his name is Carlo Gubelini. And he is...
Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Sorry. Okay.
Dave!
Sorry. His name is what? Carlo Gubelini.
You literally did a spit take. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Sorry, I was just taking a cup of coffee. Go on, yes. Carlo Gubelini.
Gubelini is his name.
Right.
And he's the mayor of Castenazzo. It's near Bologna. And he has banned hairdressers because of the heat wave. He's told hairdressers to please stop shampooing your customers' hair twice.
And what's that got to do with?
One shampoo only, please, because it means only one rinse.
Oh, he's talking about the rinsing.
Water. Yes.
To conserve water.
Yeah, right. We need to conserve water. So he's, I don't know how he's planning to.
And how big is this place? It's not Rome or anything, is it? It's just a little village, is it?
It's not Rome, it's a little place, yeah, right. But it's near Bologna. And they're having, obviously, mainland Europe is having a huge heat wave this summer.
Right.
It hasn't made its way here
it
at all.
Certainly has not.
But,
yeah.
But they are baking in mainland Europe at the moment, and Italy is getting very hot, and water supplies are getting very low. So they said if we multiply the amount of water used for each customer, we're talking about thousands of litres of water a day. And Castenazzo is small.
Wow.
Imagine what it means in terms of water consumption in large cities. So they issued the order on Saturday that hairdressers are now only allowed to shampoo hair once and rinse once.
I see.
Now I have other stories.
Give me one more quick one. Yeah, go on.
Did you hear about the radio station in Canada that played Rage Against the Machine for like 40
hours? I heard something
about
this, but I don't know any of the details.
Yeah, so everybody thought it was so two of the Kiss FM in Vancouver, two of their DJs had been laid off earlier in the week, and people were thinking that it was a protest. So they just started playing Killing in the Name on this radio station for hours and hours and hours. And when people would ring in to do other requests, they'd be like, oh yeah, that's a great one. And then they'd just
play Killing in the Name.
Which
is like had its history down through the years of mad things. Do you remember Simon Cowell?
Yeah, it was Christmas number one.
Christmas number one in about 2010 or so.
To keep X Factor off the top spot. Yeah, I remember
I'll never forget his quote. He said, oh, that's very cynical. Look who's talking.
Yeah,
the last
I know,
40
exactly.
years, Mr.
Yeah.
Cowell.
That's how we've made all your money. Yeah. But
there's a lot of the F word in the song.
There is lots of F
words. So are they playing
F-words.
That version?
No, they were playing the radio sanitized version. I know, I knew you'd be whinging
if
about
you're
that.
Doing it, do it.
I know, yeah, no, they didn't do it. But everybody thought, oh my God, this is brilliant. Like it was going viral on... And it was getting listeners from all around the world, like this little radio station in Vancouver, because, you know, it had gone viral on the internet or whatever. Yeah. But then, really disappointingly, it turned out that the kind of insurrection-y vibe of the whole thing was just a publicity stunt because they were changing their brand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It sounds like the needle was stuck.
So disappointing.
And it was, that's terrible.
No, it was like, so...
guys, like, in fact, we were talking earlier on about striking and
giving out
songs and all the rest of unions, and these guys were getting kicked off. We thought it was
fighting
the man.
Exactly. That's what everybody thought. It was thought it was going to be like a big movement or whatever, because it is a protest song.
And your man, we just played earlier on, Tom Morello wrote that song.
Yes, exactly.
He do you know what he was doing actually?
It's all connected.
Yeah, he was teaching guitar to a kid or something.
Yeah.
And suddenly something came up on his guitar and he said, "Hey, we could use that." And he suddenly built the whole thing around it.
Wow. Yeah. That was during the week, but it turned out to be a big corporate publicity stunt, which is my worst kind of publicity stunt.
There you go. Indeed. All right. Listen, Afric, thank you very much indeed for
all
your stories,
Dave.
And don't forget to keep us up to date next week on Bob.
I will.
Yeah, we need to know.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.